Hi guys, you are tuned in to the fifth and final season of the Swing Flamingo podcast. We talk about swinging, non-monogamy, and all other adult topics. So if you're under 18, leave now. Even though we came into this podcast with over a decade experience, we have still changed and evolved since we have started recording. So follow along with us this final season to see what's coming next for us.
Hello, this is your host, Kimmy. When I'm not irritating the living shit out of my husband, I love riding hot studs, long walks on the beach, food, and watching trash TV.
Yes, and I am Lee, and I'm annoying as fuck.
Is my voice that squeaky?
No, you try to talk like this.
Well, if you're going to fuck with me, get it right, lady.
Oh, where's my laugh? You didn't do it.
I'm not even going to attempt that. That would
Let's
not...
do it. I want to hear it. Here, try it. Do it. Do it.
I can't. I'm not as humorous as you. It's not going to fly. Everybody already knows the cat's out of the bag. It's not you.
Uh-huh. All right, everyone. Welcome to the Swinging Flamingos. This is episode 5050. Can you believe it?
Damn, this show's the same age as me. In dog years.
In dog years? Human years?
Yeah. We haven't been doing the show 50 fucking years. Someone told me I looked good the other day. I said, yeah, I don't feel a day over 75. And they stepped there and looked at me for a second. And they're like, oh, I get it now. I said, yeah, I'm in rough shape.
Oh, my gosh. So, what have you been up to?
Threw me off guard.
I'm literally asking you what you've been up to.
Well, nothing now that you asked. What the fuck? That's what our fucking notes are for, lady. Don't throw me off guard here. You know I can't impromptu shit.
You don't know what I've been doing?
Sure. Lay it on me.
So it's so windy in Texas today that our neighbors have a kite strapped to their vehicle, flying this kite from five houses down, and it's up over our house. So I had to help crawl on the roof, crawl over the fence, because it got stuck in our shingles.
Well, I was laughing before you did that. One, there's a storm blowing in, so these neighbors aren't particularly bright. I think natural selection may take its course today. That's going to be funny in itself. But the other thing is we are in line with DFW Airport on the south end. I'm almost willing to bet they are restricting airspace as high as that thing is, which will be another funny thing when you have fighter jets fly over.
I'm just saying, though, they probably don't have a key stuck to their kite, or do they?
They're not bright enough to understand it anyway, so we're just going to see what happens. Well, hey, before we go on, I wanted to give a shout out to your nephew, who this weekend is participating in his first Civil War reenactment. Now, here's the fun part that you told me, is this little twit, again, he's very young, he gets shot right off the bat in the reenactment and has to lay there playing dead the whole time.
For like, I think it's usually, what, 3 hours?
That's the same thing we always hope at family reunions, is he'll just shut up and play dead, but it would be worth the admission to get to see him actually playing dead.
Now, here's the thing, is that this kid loves history. He wears a army hat. What are those little hard hat things?
Yeah,
what are
just they? Helmets.
The helmet.
A World War II helmet.
He wears it to dinner. He wears it out to the restaurant. And then he tells everyone how you can tell a real helmet from a fake one.
He's not special needs. He's just kind of special as it is. What's funny is he grew up and one of his big likes was the Titanic. And I remember he had a Titanic birthday party. Now, I think we wanted to go down and submerge him in freezing water in the pond, but they wouldn't let us.
We went to Branson to the Titanic museum, Dylan. He was telling them facts about it. I was like, you can't be doing that.
Yeah, the custodians there at the museum were like, somebody come get your fucking kid. We're not paid this much to deal with this shit. I'm making $15 an hour and I have to listen to this little prick.
Oh, it's never a dull moment. Anyways.
So back to what's been going on. There's been a shit ton happening with us. This has just been an odd month. I think we're ready for this quarter to be done. One, I'm kind of waiting on a year-end bonus to see where the hell we're going to end up if we're staying or going.
Yeah, and I took a new job, and it's in a different field. It's still the healthcare, but it's a different field that I'm used to. So it's been interesting. Let me just say that.
So I think we can legitimately say this month we haven't been doing much.
No.
We usually say that and have 15 items to rattle off, but this recently we've not been up to much.
Well, and like you said, we were waiting on you to figure out what you're going to do with your job. We've decided to downsize our house in the process of this, because if we do move, I don't want to move all of this junk.
Well, you brought up a good point about waiting to see what happens with my job. A couple weeks ago, I got a call from a former manager who was kind of helping me, mentoring me rather, in finding a new job. And he said, hey, don't bother these people too much that you're interviewing with. I said, okay, that's fine. And he said, the reason I say that is because I'm interested in you. He's trying to put together a position for me that basically covers the lower one quarter of the United States. So when he mentioned the states we'd be covering, all the Gulf states from Texas to Florida, and then the Carolinas, Tennessee, Arkansas, Oklahoma, you know, half of these are states that we've lived in and worked in. So I'm really hoping something plays out with this job opportunity.
Well, with that said, also, we can live anywhere with a major airport. So we're trying to think of where we'd want to be.
But like you said, we've committed to here one more year so you can finish out your job. We're going to move probably the next neighborhood over. Here's the deal. We're not going to tell our kids where we're moving. So we're just going to say, hey, don't go by the old house and try to get in.
I'm interested to see if you really that works, because you know my son is going to move us. He's the only one with a truck. We got to stick it in the back of your SUV.
Yeah, I don't think we can fit the entertainment center in the SUV.
I might strap it to the top of my SUV.
So if we can just get past this month of March, you and I are celebrating our 16th,
anniversary. Let's just say anniversary.
I already had it figured out. 16th year of marriage, 20th year of being together.
Okay.
I see you doing the numbers in your head, which is scary.
No, I don't even know. I don't even keep up. It's been 20 years, I feel like, since day one.
The best 20 years of your life, let's be honest.
Yes, it has been. It was definitely better than the first 20. That's not hard to do, though.
You don't have high expectations for me or us, do you? So if we happen to survive our anniversary in this next month, we've got a lot coming up over the summer, depending on what your work allows us to travel. A couple things we've got on the board is it looks like we will be going back to Naughty New Orleans this year.
Yeah, and I think that we are going to be involved a little more than we have in the past this year, so I'm excited about this year.
Prior to that, a friend of ours is throwing the first pool party of the year, doing a Cinco de Mayo party, which should be pretty badass. They've been doing good house parties, and now the weather turning nice again, this is going to be awesome.
So with that said, let me say this theme is going to be awesome, because what they've decided to do is you pick a color. So like if we picked pink, then we wear pink, and then we also bring like a pink taco. That's what I'm bringing.
Are you sharing this pink taco with everybody?
Apparently so. Everyone's got to be able to eat.
I don't even know where to go with this comment. As long as you share with me, I don't give a shit what happens after that. But damn, I'm going through this in my mind. Can I make an extra sour cream reference here?
God, no, don't, no.
No, yeah, you like the sour cream?
Nope. Mm-mm, mm-mm.
So what the fuck are you really going to bring that's pink?
I'm really bringing pink tacos.
Okay, you're going to have to explain this to me off air, but I trust you.
Don't question my madness. I'm bringing pink meat.
Wow. So many innuendos I could just throw in there, but I take it you have something real in mind.
Something pink and sweet.
And now I'm getting aroused, so a new topic. So what else do we got going on?
Well, we also have our yearly Oklahoma City pool party.
We've had enough people reach out to us that we've been missing the last few that I think we're going to give it one more try and see what we think about it. It's funny, you ran into some OGs the other night at the club that we'll talk about, and even they had mentioned that they've got away from it just due to the turns it's taken.
She was telling her boyfriend how long we've known each other, and she was like, oh my gosh, it's literally been 20 years. It's crazy to think that. And then, of course, we have our Pod Bash coming up. Everyone, please go book.
Oh my God, you and I figured out a couple new games that we're going to try to break in on this one that should be fucking off the wall.
Yep.
I think we need to make little trophies this year. I think that needs to be one of our giveaways. So we need to do some final year Flamingo Cup trophies.
We could do pink tacos.
Okay.
We could mold my vagina.
Okay. Wow.
Paint it pink.
It's already pink.
But not if we mold it. It's going to be white. And then you paint it pink.
Okay. Whatever. You're off on this topic real hard tonight. You're apparently wanting to spread it around the neighborhood or something.
I guess so. I don't know what happened.
You are nursing a hangover today.
Yeah, it's...
Do you want the headphones? Is it too loud for you?
I did have a headache when we started, though.
So we have gone out on a couple LS dates. Again, we haven't done anything big since our last recording. One thing we did recently go to, though, with some friends, is we went to see the Micro Wrestling.
Now, me and these friends, we go all the time. Twice.
Like your groupies for the Micro Wrestling League.
We are. I feel like I know them by heart now. But anyways, you got to go, and you loved it, didn't you?
It was a lot more than I was expecting. I was really expecting kind of cheap knockoffs of the WWE, but I give these guys credit. Even being so tiny in stature, their athleticism's off the hook.
Oh, it's amazing how athletic they are.
Well, I was laughing that week on travel for, I don't know what the deal was, but I was having just random people stop me saying, hey, you're looking great. You look good. Do you work out? Are you training for this? It was kind of weird. I was telling you literally every day somebody was stopping me. We go to the show and...
Hot Rod. His name is Hot Rod.
One of the wrestlers comes up to me while we're sitting there and he kind of looks me up and down and he goes, you need to lay off the steroids, and walked off. And I'm like, what the fuck? What was that jackass comment?
He was jealous. Well, if you know him, he's arrogant. He thinks he's got to be the shit.
Yep. I made the joke that I shit things more athletic than him. So I did learn my favorite line of all times. Some of the heels, which are the bad guy wrestlers, they'll come up and give their little spiel. And one of them gets up there and goes, let me tell you, the best thing to come out of Lubbock, Texas is me when I leave this godforsaken town and get the hell out of here. So that's going to be my new saying anytime I go to Lubbock or Amarillo or Odessa.
Better than calling it the armpit of Texas. You always get in trouble for that.
I still think that's pretty fabulous. You have to say the biggest pop of the crowd reaction was, again, the wrestlers get up there and, you know, depending on if they're good or bad, they give their little spiel, getting everybody hopped up. And they had one wrestler, which was a Mexican luchador one, so it wears the mask and the outfit, and it was El Tigre or Cat or something. So the other one's getting up there to talk about how he's going to whip this guy's ass, blah, 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 blah. And they say, okay, let's hear from the challenger. And they hand it to the tiger guy, and he goes, meow. The crowd went fucking insane. So you and Miss Kitty have been, every time we see each other, going, meow. But as you mentioned, if you get the chance to check them out live, it's a freaking fantastic show. Take your kids, or if it's at a bar, I'm anxious to do a bar event.
Yeah, oh yeah, the bar one is so much fun because you're drinking, it's rowdy, it's crazy. Convention centers is kind of tame.
Yeah, it's kind of like seeing a small concert in a big arena. It kind of kills the
vibe
of it.
It'd be good to take your kids to. Now, with that said, let's talk about some stuff you've been up to, because last episode, we didn't really talk about it, but you've been on a few dates.
Yeah, as you mentioned, I've had a repeat date with a young lady local that I've been seeing. We've been hitting it off pretty good and having some nice dates. I came back from the one recently, and I went to pick her up at, I believe I left the house here at 6, drove into Dallas, picked her up. We went and had dinner. We went back to her house, played, and I made it home. And when I came in the house, it was approximately 10 p.m., and you automatically right off the bat said, is everything okay? Because that was kind of a quick date.
Yeah. Well, normally you're out past midnight, I would say, normally.
Yeah, and it was crazy. I didn't feel like anything was rushed, but I brought that up to you. She and I go to dinner, get back to the house, do our thing, and call it a night. There's not a lot of excessive cuddling or...
Lingering. Your wham, bam, thank you, ma'ams.
I kind of feel like it. It's kind of a different feel. The other thing that was a different feel about it was I was playing at their house in their bed. I've never done that before.
You played in their bed? You didn't play in the guest room?
She said, let's go in here, and it was their bedroom. So.
Oh, wow.
I didn't realize that. It was a different feel. I don't know what I think about it. First, it was a little bit distracting, but...
But, I mean, think about it, though. Like, if you're at a hotel room, think of how many people have slept in that room. Like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I could probably play in someone's bed. It's a bed's a bed.
Yeah, I think we've always aimed for a neutral ground, just so we felt comfortable and everybody else felt comfortable. But it took me a little bit to get out of my head on that one.
I mean, I'm sure she probably washed the sheets and changed before her husband came home, so it doesn't matter, right?
I'm kind of hoping so.
No, I would prefer the guest room just because I'm probably going to go to bed afterwards. I don't want my bed nasty.
You had me get the doggy pads the other night when we were playing Matter of Fact, so I know where you're going with this. We need one of those waterproof blankets.
We do.
We've been talking about it. I think it's just time to drop that on the Amazon list. Well, time before last week, you and I played. You had a bed-soaking incident. I don't know what the deal was with that. It just kept going. I don't know if my dirty talk was turning you on or what, but... You were a mess. And then you went into the bathroom to get away from me.
And I was still going.
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to fuck you in the bathroom. And you're just making a mess there on the floor.
I was too hydrated. I hate it.
You drinking too much is kind of a common denominator lately.
Too much water.
But getting back to our date, and she and I seem to be very compatible. I laugh. I was telling you and my boss when we went out to dinner on a business meeting recently that I had the urge to go camping. And right off the bat, even my boss said...
I'm rolling my eyes, everyone.
Yeah, my boss said, you mean like in a tent on the ground? And you're like, I don't believe this shit. So I was telling her that. And she was like, oh, yeah, I'm totally into that. That's one thing me and my last boyfriend like to do. And I'm like, okay. And, you know, we were talking about the time of year. It's cool enough here in Texas at night that it would be enjoyable. I don't do super hot temperatures. And she was like, oh, yeah, we could snuggle up together in a sleeping bag. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds good. And she was like, we could play cards by
lantern.
And I'm like, okay, now you're losing me on the sexiness of the situation. That sounds like roughing it.
Now, I'm just going to say, you don't want to curl up in the sleeping bag with me, but you curl up in a sleeping bag with someone else.
I'd curl up in a sleeping bag with you. Let's try it.
You don't even sleep underneath the same blanket as me in the bed.
Because you get really hot. I'd have to keep somebody warm. You would be smoking me out. We just keep getting off track on this date.
I know.
Random squirrel thoughts. Your ears are leaned over to me today.
Uh-huh. See?
But when I got back, you know, we kind of reconnect after everyone and debrief. And, you know, one of the things you asked me is, do I want her as a regular play partner? Which she and I had kind of mentioned a schedule. And even you were like, that's a little bit too much. Because you still wanted time with me. Because, again, I travel a couple days and home a couple days.
With the schedule, I think... So what she suggested was that you guys do every other week. Now you're gone 4 days out of the week. And then we're going to be going out doing lifestyle stuff. So at what point are you and I even going to be able to connect? So I just felt like that's not realistic for me, I feel.
Yeah, maybe have her on a regular rotation, but not every other week.
Yeah.
And plus also like the newness of it every time. The few times we played, there have been a big enough gap between all of them that it doesn't feel totally familiar, which, you know, that's kind of my deal. I like new experiences. You brought up that you also want time for us to be able to pursue couples on the weekend and get back into that with our schedules normalizing a little bit.
Now, you talked about me kind of having a hangover. I think I'm getting too old for this going out to the club and spending all night out. It was a rough night for me. I didn't even make it like 10 minutes in the car. I was dozing off. Of course, we got home at, what, 3:30?
Yeah, but let's talk about where we were, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, first time we went to the club in, I'd say, at least a year.
Yeah, we've been anti-club, as you've heard. I actually posted a picture of us going out, and I had people texting me saying, you're really going to the club? I'm like, yeah, a group was going there, and the Eye Candy Party group was there. So it was time to get back to it for a little bit. I don't think we missed it as bad as we thought we did once we actually went there, other than having a good time with our friends.
Yep, we went to Colette Dallas, and I do have to say the music was really good. Everyone was out dancing. It was packed. It was really fun.
And I think fun is the thing we've been missing on them lately on the club. We just would go out to the club, felt like we blew a lot of money and didn't get anything out of it. We never go there with the expectation to play, so that's not the worry. But when we just don't actually enjoy going out to it, you know, why are we spending that kind of money and wasting an evening?
Yeah, well, the last few times it's been too loud. The music's been off. And so then I'm miserable. Then you're miserable because I'm miserable. So we just kind of stepped away from them for a little bit. But last night, the music was good. We danced. We had a good time. What was the theme last night of the Eye Candy group?
Cosmic something or other, or
out of this world. Yeah. Yeah, and so the costumes were fun and amazing. And I had a good time last night.
You were letting loose. Again, you're feeling it today because of it.
Yeah. A little too much.
Let's talk about a little bit of lifestyle stuff that actually went on. We got some couples propositions out of the blue. They were talking to you, which I don't think you were coherent enough to absorb what was being asked of us.
No, I don't think so. You know what I've noticed is that people don't realize when I maybe have had too much to drink.
You can pull off being smashed pretty good, except when it comes to a sobriety check on the side of the road.
I don't know. But we got propositioned by four couples. Yeah, four.
Which a couple of them were some that we knew, so we may advance the play on that later. But a couple were of people that we had just met. So yeah. We're like, okay, we may need to have dinner with you and see if this is going to be a fit.
And then you even got a unicorn out of it.
I actually had a couple unicorns. I don't know how much you had to drink, but I had a couple unicorn experiences.
Oh, yeah, you did. You told me. I had to think about it.
Yeah, I tell you about this stuff. Don't pretend like I don't.
One was downstairs and one was upstairs.
Right. Well, the one we've known for some time, and she and I ended up making out. She's like, I've always been really interested in you. But she said my boyfriend and then ex-husband's egos would not allow me to talk to you. I'm like, oh, that's...
Which I am surprised because I knew she was, so I don't know how you missed it.
Well, that one went over my head. So we may have to have a deeper talk on that one if that's going to be one that'll fit in. But she also has a boyfriend now, so we're going to have that discussion. Is that a four-way or is that
fits in, yeah, how their dynamic is.
The one that you were mentioning, there was a very attractive young lady in close proximity to our group that I was eyeballing all night. I thought she was just banging. And there towards the end of the evening, she was always in demand too. That was the kind of thing. If she was ever to stand by herself for 2 minutes, I was gonna shoot my shot. And then there at the end of the night, things were winding down, and she was literally on the other side of the couch from me and you. And I said, "That chick's banging." I was like, "I've been wanting to talk to her." And I guess she saw us looking at her because she kind of waved at us and I waved back. And I just stuck my hand out and said, "Hey, you're attractive. I've been wanting to talk to you." And she's like, "Hey, let me come around the couch and talk to you guys." I was actually telling you, I was like, "You need to go wingman me on that young lady there." And you said, "Why don't you nut up and be a man and go talk to yourself?" And then that's about the time the girl caught us talking about her and came around, and we got introductions, and she threw her arms around each of us, and we were having a pretty good chat. And you kind of really went to work winging man me. I give you credit, the questions and the leading, the way you played it out. I was like, "Hey, you do know how to wingman me."
Aw, you actually give me credit for something for once.
I did.
Everyone heard it.
Well, as we walked through it, you know, you were kind of asking what her dynamics were. We found out she's from Houston, what club she goes to, how long she's been in the scene. Again, what her dynamic is. You asked her a couple other questions. And you brought up the fact, you know, I could tell that you were kind of giving the approval because you're like, "Hey, he's down there quite a bit. You and him should get together and go to dinner, have drinks, see where it goes from there." And then you started asking her what website she was on, which we don't do the websites. And finally,
I did that because I wanted to make sure she was legit. I wanted to make sure that, because I mean, let's be honest, there are sex workers that sometimes come in,
yeah,
and work couples. So I wanted to make sure that she was legit. I was doing a little bit of screening on my end.
You're actually thinking farther ahead than I was on that, so I give you credit. Again, good job wingmanning and screening. That's part of the questions you have to ask.
But with that said, I talked to her multiple times after that. I talked to her in the bathroom. I talked to her, like, when I was down by the lockers. Then again at the lockers, you know, like, she kept kind of engaging with me there after that.
Well, I think she's also interested in you, let's be fair.
She wasn't interested in me. She's interested in you.
Okay, well, I wasn't involved in the conversation in the bathroom, so you know a little bit more than I do.
For once, I don't know that she's bi.
Okay, that's up for debate. I will find out that for you.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up getting her contact info via Facebook Messenger, which gives both of us the opportunity to know what's going on in the conversation. I'm not doing a one-way talk with her. And she's actually came back and said, "Hey, it was nice meeting you as well. Let's get together and do something."
Well, and I think that she realizes that we're legit and we're not just like, we have to go and do something right now kind of people.
So maybe that'll be a unicorn story for a future episode. So on that topic of unicorns, I think it's just time we cover this topic. We've never really spoke about it in depth.
No, I mean, we've touched on it here and there. So I think that it's time to actually talk about it. And what's going to be interesting is that from the first time that we've even mentioned unicorns and stuff, I think our thoughts have changed a little bit. I know mine have.
Well, you and I are both believers that if your thoughts aren't changing, then you're really not pushing yourself hard enough to grow in this arena anyway.
Yeah, exactly. You're just stagnant.
If you come in and leave with the same ideas that you started with, you haven't grown any. And I can't see how you can't go through the lifestyle and everything it entails without changing your views on things, even if making minor adjustments to it. So honestly, it took us a while to even venture into the talks of unicorns. You and I started as a couple for a couple. Couple?
Yeah.
We would run into unicorns, and it was just kind of a nice to meet you. That's not our jam, but you know, hopefully we can be friends. And then I guess over the last, I'm going to say since we moved to Dallas, things have really changed.
Yeah. Over the last 10 years, we've kind of had a different mindset on them. We did have an experience, which we talked about, you know, on previous shows and stuff with KB.
Which, knock on wood, was a really good first experience.
True
first experience, yes. We had experience in the past, but it didn't really culminate to what was supposed to have. Our time with KB was really good. We've heard some horror stories that we'll cover.
Yes. And what's funny is that last time we went to dinner with some friends, you know, a group, and they literally brought up unicorns. And so I have to say this on the show because I feel like it's relevant. You know, knowing we're going to do this show about unicorns, they didn't know. And so I asked them, I said, "So what's your experience with unicorns?" And what did one of the husbands say?
One of the husbands said, "There's really nobody with a story that ends good with a unicorn relationship." Now, you can have a unicorn experience, which in and out, wham, bam, thank you, man,
and it
done.
Could be amazing.
But it seems like when a relationship is formed, it takes a different toll.
That makes sense, though, because every relationship, like, well, let's just say KB and us, it ended and feelings were hurt. But yeah, I mean, we're still friends, but it was still hurtful in the end.
And that can all go back to expectations, actions, and communication, as with anything in lifestyle. When you always have more than one person in a relationship, you and I, us and somebody else, us and another couple, there's always communication that needs to be addressed, worked through.
Yeah.
Especially when we're doing adult stuff.
So I guess let's just start back at basic. 101, do you feel unicorns benefit the lifestyle?
Oh, that's a hard one. I guess it depends on if you're playing with them or not. I would say if it was something you're actively pursuing, yeah. If it's something you're getting regularly, yeah. If it's not something you're interested, it wouldn't make any difference to me, pro or con.
I think they do benefit the lifestyle, just like I think single men benefit the lifestyle, just like couples benefit the lifestyle. I feel like there's a place for everyone. Now, not every unicorn needs to be in the lifestyle, and that's where the poison sinks in for me.
But that goes back to the not every couple needs to be in the lifestyle.
Exactly,
yeah.
Not every
needs to be in the lifestyle. Not every single male needs to be in the lifestyle. There's people that just don't need to be in this space.
Yeah.
Well, where we're getting at, we've seen over the years both good and bad, so I think we're going to address a little bit of both sides of the argument today. Well, the thing that rubs us raw, regardless if it's man, woman, couple, or whatever, is a feeling of entitlement. And unfortunately, with the way some unicorns are treated and catered to, there's a lot of entitlement in the unicorn space.
Let me jump in here. I don't know if it's the way, as a female, we've been trained to think that everything should be given to us. We should be catered to. We should be get everything. I feel like that's something that's programmed into us.
It is. It's programmed from a very young age. You start telling your daughter, you're a princess. You don't need to settle for anything less than the best. A guy should cater to you. So I think when it comes to you not being with a husband and pursuing a couple or whatever, you're going to expect a little bit of being catered to.
So let me say this.
That's a social standard. That's not necessarily the lifestyle.
No. And just like everything that you know with relationships and sex and everything else, you need to throw it out the window. Because you're in a different environment. You're a toy and someone is your toy. There's not, I don't know. I'm trying to carefully say this. And
well, don't carefully. Just go ahead and hit it on the head.
Yeah.
We've got too many issues to be pussyfooting around stuff now. I think people know we're assholes. So
I'm trying not to be, though.
Lay it out. Let me say this.
There are brats, but to me, brats fall into the kink world and not, I mean, they can be in the lifestyle, but not all unicorns are brats. And so I feel like all unicorns should not be entitled.
Or any unicorn should be entitled?
That's
kind of a broad stretch there.
I know, that's the reason I'm like, it's...
So should they be entitled based on age, looks, social status? I mean, where's the drawing line or the dividing line?
I don't know. What do you think? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, kick it back over to me.
Yes. You're the asshole, so I want you to answer this.
So I was trying to get you in trouble. You're putting my ass on the spot.
This is a hard topic to figure out. So let me say this. Should a unicorn be entitled any more than a wife?
I'm going to say less than a wife because I don't think I should put any woman on your level. I should still treat them with respect and dignity, but she's not on your level. I'm still going to treat her as a woman and important and a human being, but in my opinion, she's not going to get the same perks you're going to get. Does that make sense?
Okay, so with that said, here's something that we have seen early on, and this is the reason that we kind of got away from unicorns, like, first thing, because we were told how unicorns would demand things, material items, like shoes or outfits or toys from their partners. And so for me, I feel like I would never ask a partner to go buy me $1,000 pair of shoes in the lifestyle. Now, if I was a true brat and that was my, you know, like defined like brat, we're talking kink brats. Okay.
Okay.
And it was up front, negotiated up front. Here is, I am a brat. This is what I do. This is my, you know, I want you to buy me this. Or, you know, like you guys have your talks beforehand, that's different than you just feeling like, you need to go buy this for me. I need a new car. I need new shoes. You know what I mean? Like,
well, from the lifestyle side, Brad is a personality. Let's just take the kink part out of it. You're just kind of a pain in the ass because you're like, hey, I've got the pussy. I make the rules. That's where I look at it as a brat. I'm not bringing any of the kink actments in, but rather than just, you know, she's a little bit of a bitch. And she's like, hey, I've got the pussy. I'm going to make the rules. But like you said, early on, we went to our very first club. They brought up the fact that the unicorns were there. A lot of these girls were like, hey, I want you to buy me this. Take me here. Make my car payment, etc. And we saw a lot of that. You almost had to pay to play.
Yeah.
The first place we were at. I'm not going to say they were sex workers. And if they were, that was fine. But there was a lot of demanding.
It was expected.
There was a lot of demanding from the girls that were unicorns in our circle that you catered to them. Which from our side, that was a no-go. Now, we did meet one right off the bat that we liked, but we'd also heard horror stories on her that we'll cover. But, you know, you right off the bat were like, I like this girl. She's cute. But the stories we've heard, she's a no-go.
For me, it's different. If we invite her out to dinner, we're going to pick up the tab. But I'm not going to pick up the tab for a $1,000 pair of shoes when you should be buying me those $1,000 shoes.
I'm not seeing it as much now as we did years ago, but I remember girls posting on Facebook, oh, I found these cutest shoes. Somebody needs to buy them for me. They look cute on me. I'll send you a picture in them. I'm just like, ooh, I'm not digging that.
Do you think that it's because they've switched over to the OnlyFans?
Yeah, I'm sure they got their simps on OnlyFans. I've seen the girls
online.
And
so now they're not desperately asking couples?
Well, they still are because they'll have like their Amazon wish list. I have seen that. And we know content creators that do that. Hey, you know, buy me this outfit off my wish list or whatever. There's still part of that going on. But it's to me now, that's going to your OnlyFans and sex worker rather than a lifestyle person.
So it has changed a little bit.
I think it's just shifted to a different genre
platform.
or different arena. So kind of on that topic, let's talk a little bit about, we know some girls that are sugar babies and have their sugar daddies. What's your thoughts on that? I personally am not opposed to it. I'm not opposed to legalized sex work as long as everybody's consensual. But we do know some that are out and out. They're just like, hey, I'm a sugar baby. If you're not going to take care of me, I have no urge to be part of your life.
Now, with that said, though, I'm okay with that because they're up front. The expectation is there. I'm a sugar baby. I'm going to want you to take care of me and do this and do that. That, I mean, it is what it is. I'm okay with that because it's up front.
Yeah, when we were discussing this, we were trying to draw the line between a brat and a sugar baby.
Yeah.
And someone that's just wanting stuff bought. But again, a brat, I just see in the lifestyle as an attitude. Sugar baby, that's a little different. It's a monetary thing.
Yep.
Well, that's always a topic on any page you look at or any media is who pays for what. And I know when we took Unicorn Amy from Pod Bash out, we took her to the lodge. We invited her. She said she was coming to town, but we invited her. And I came back from the restroom, and she'd paid the tab, which was pretty flattering, but it wasn't expected. Honestly, you know, when we invite somebody out like that, when we do couple by couple, it's just, I think it's commonplace to split the tab two ways.
Yeah.
You pay for your wife, I'll pay for mine. But to us, when we take a young lady out, I look to pay for it.
Yeah.
We're inviting you out to enjoy our company and our time, and it's not like you're being rewarded for it, but hell, you know, we're going to cover the tab.
I guess that brings up a point of, you know, just a quick side squirrel note since we've had a lot of them. So what if it's a single male and we invite them to dinner? Do we pick up the tab or does he?
I would pick up a single male's tab if we invited him out. I think we might have even, the one from Austin that time, picked up his tab. So
I think the rule of thumb that we do is if we invite someone, we try to pick the tab up.
I look at it like I look at a lot of my business, you know, expenses as well. You know, if I'm taking a customer out to lunch, I'll occasionally have one be like, hey, you did a class for me, you did this for me, you did that for me. I'm gonna reward you and, you know, cover your dinner as a appreciative thing.
It's interesting to think, though, because, like, if you go out as a couple, you know, the couples pay their own.
I always still feel awkward on that, but I'm like, we don't have, lifestyle people eat out a lot.
Yeah.
You know, dinner dates, drink dates are pretty common. So for one person to constantly be covering the bill, that's a bit much.
Yeah.
Okay, if you went out with a single male, he invited you out, who pays there?
I'm going to go back to kind of what we've said. I would pay for it if I invited them.
Do you ever go Dutch? And why would you go Dutch if things were really taking a bad turn?
Yeah, or if the bill was high. Because, I mean, I've gone out with a girlfriend and I would pick up the bill. But if it was high because she had a lot of drinks or I had a lot of drinks, then we'd split it or I'd pay mine. So see, I do pay bills sometimes.
You're talking about going out with your girlfriend. That has nothing to do with ours. You're talking about these girls and wanting people to buy shoes from. Well, how much did I spend on shoes and outfits this weekend, baby? But think how good you looked, so I'm not going to complain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not buying my side chicks any shoes either, so you can be, you can chill on that. Well, rolling with that, the woman that I've been seeing semi-regular now, the first time we went out on date, I got the hotel, the dinner, all that. And she really brought up, you know, she was wanting to split stuff. I'm like, I forgot it handled. You know, hotel was paid for ahead of time. She was like, well, next time I pay for the hotel and all that. So I still got mixed emotions on that as a man.
But like we just said earlier, we're in the lifestyle. You got to get out of what you know in your head and change it. It's not...
Sometimes it is just a back and forth. It's not.
This is not the 50s.
Things that unless you have been there and worked through them, and you have to think about it. When, you know, sometimes you have to think about them on a spur of a notice when they drop the tab.
Yep.
Oh, so before we get too far ahead, let's go back to the Arkansas unicorn that we mentioned was a no-go. Let's talk about a quick story, a horror story, of why she was also a no-go in addition to wanting things.
Some of our good friends took her home after the club one night, and that was on, actually, I think it was on a Thursday. And at Sunday evening, they were like, you've got to leave. Our kids are on their way home. She would not leave their house. She was just chilling.
Well, the funny part of the story is she also took the wives' spot on the couch. Apparently, they have assigned spots like Big Bang Theory, and she was in Sheldon's spot. And needless to say, the wife was ready to shank her. She's like, hey, we've done played. It's time for you to go.
Yeah, she was pissed.
And she's taking up residency on the wife's couch.
Yeah.
I was thinking about you and that. If she used to touch your side of the couch or your remote, shit, it would be on. I don't even get to touch the fucking remote. I still don't know how to use it 20 years
in. You don't even know how to use it.
When I'm traveling, I go into a hotel, I have to have the front desk people come and show me how to use the remote because I don't even get to touch it at home. Well, let's get into something that just, to me, is an irritation, and that's herds of unicorns at an event or party.
I find this interesting that you say this bothers you.
How many straight males are you going to hear say that? It's probably not a commonplace to hear amongst guys.
Now, on the flip side, a lot of people say how all the single men.
Right.
So, I mean.
Well, here is my stand, and I will live and die on this hill by myself, but I think they need to limit both the number of single males as well as those of single females.
Why? Why?
I've seen problems of large groups of unicorns. And it seems like the brat and the attitudes come out more when they are in a group and all, one, fighting amongst themselves for attention, but trying to overstep everything else that's there for attention. It just seems like it's a little bit of a ruckus. Plus, you get people going stupid over, I don't know, it seems like it magnifies the drama when there's a herd of singles women there, more than single guys. You know, single guys, everybody's like, you know, they've kind of singled them out or avoiding them. But it seems like everybody's fighting for the attention of the crazy-ass herd of single females sometimes, where things get stupid. Far-fetched, I know.
I don't know how I feel about that, because I'm just trying to think. You know, like last night, there was a group of single girls, and they were all dancing on the floor. And I did notice that a lot of the wives kind of stayed back.
Yeah, that's kind of on the wife, though, for lack of confidence. And you can't help that in somebody. I don't know. Maybe my thinking's just off on that. I feel like there's just been parties that we've been at where I'm like, these girls are getting annoying. And granted, we're not really...
Okay, so I'm going to cut you off for a second. Do you think it's because they're wanting attention?
Oh, 100%.
No, I'm saying like they, and that's why it's annoying, is because they're trying to get too much attention instead of just letting it flow.
Well, we know some good unicorns that are pretty fucking chill. I'll say the same thing on a single guy. The best way to, in my opinion, us be interested in a single guy is not realizing he's a single guy. You know, I can think of one at San Antonio. We were chatting with him quite a bit, hit it off really good. I actually got his number. I found out he's single. I'm like, oh, it's still cool. And you were trying to say he was with this one woman. I'm like, no, he's 100% a single guy. But he didn't come off with a single guy vibe. He and I kind of hit it off on cars, music, whiskey, shooting, etc. To the point that I'm like, hey, I like this guy. So I would say from the same point on the single women. I mean, I can think of one at Naughty, a single woman at Naughty at New Orleans a couple years ago prior to us playing with them. I was at the bar chatting her up, and she came back and was talking to you, and I said, who are you with? And she's like, oh, I'm here by myself. And I was kind of like, okay, nice meeting you. Good night. And she went on her way, and you said, why did you turn her away? I said, well, she's not couple for couple.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, just by her interaction, I was thinking, hey, I'm anxious to meet your spouse because this is going to be a good fit between the four, could be a good fit between the four of us.
It's interesting how our views have changed over the years on single females.
And single males, too, I'm sure. Because the first one we went to, they basically voted amongst the group if they wanted single guys. And this was an older crowd, and none of them wanted single guys lurking around. So I'm going to say for the first 4 years of our lifestyle, we were not around any single males.
Yeah.
All we heard was horror stories. And then, granted, we've seen some of them, but we've also seen some pretty damn good ones. I think we've probably seen more horror stories of unicorns than we have single males just because of our exposure to them. Let me reiterate this. Do you think unicorns should get any sort of special treatment in the lifestyle?
Depends. I'm going to say it depends on where you're going with this, I guess. Now, one of the debates that we have constantly, and we've had constantly throughout our podcast, is the pricing to clubs and to events.
And then it all comes down to a business. So single females are good for business. Guys, they can charge what they want. It's basically a money grab.
Yeah. But at that same point, I feel like, let's be honest, I mean, I'm giving you a discount. Like, to go into the club, you get a discount going in with me because you're cheaper, but yet you're paying more for me as a married wife to go into the club than if I were to be a single unicorn to go into the club.
Oh, yeah, that's a good example. I found an ad for something going on at Secrets, a party coming up, and I was telling you the pricing. It was $40 for a couple. Hey, that's pretty reasonable. It was $15 for a single woman. Okay, that's just the economics of single women draw more people. Like a
so I'm getting
night.
A markup for being married, apparently.
Yeah, you're not paying anyway, so it don't matter. Now, here's where it got tricky. The single males were like $250. Again, $40 for a couple, $15 for a single woman, $250 for a guy. Explain the business model in that. It's basically they're just trying to limit the number of guys.
Well, and that's the problem is that, like we said at the beginning of this, is that single females, unicorns, they are needed in the lifestyle. People are looking for them. Single males are needed in the lifestyle. People are looking for them. Couples are needed in the lifestyle because people are looking for couples.
I think a lot of people take the couples equation out of it anymore when talking about, because there are so many dynamics, the hot wifing, hot husbanding, or whatever, or unicorn hunting, that a lot of people take out the couple by couple dynamic.
And it needs to be there.
It all needs to be there, but at what extent? Again, this goes back to my theory that limit the number of single females, limit the number of single guys. I had a single female friend of ours saying, well, what are we supposed to do? Sit in a bullpen, and if there's not enough quantity of couples, we're not allowed in for the night? I said, I don't have a good solution to it. I really don't. I still don't believe everybody should be allowed in at the same price. I know a lot of people champion for single guys, but my opinion, if you allow single guys in at the same price as couples, what do you have? You end up with a green door, or you end up with a red rooster in Vegas.
Yeah, no, that is true. I mean, it's such a hard debate.
I don't feel there's a good answer. No. I really don't. I wished I had a better solution, but I don't. But as we said, you know, their special treatment all goes back to they are in demand.
Well, let me ask you this. Are they really in demand? So do you think there are more unicorns added to the lifestyle than there are males?
Without a doubt. If you look at the Facebook groups or any others, a lot of these Facebook groups will even go so far as to say no single males. We're just looking for couple by couple, plus any women that are willing to play with couples. So I'm going to say on a general spectrum, yeah. Now, there are specialty events, your hot wife events, which are actually more successful than most of your lifestyle couples events. But I think on the general public, the unicorns are getting more welcomed. The other thing about the unicorns is they don't have to jump through hoops like males do. Males get scrutinized for everything. Women
from
can
clothes to
yep.
histories to pass the, like, females can come in and
yeah, females can come in with no qualifications that a male would have to exude and be welcomed with open arms.
Yeah, that's true.
It's crazy when we start laying out some of the things we like and dislike about the lifestyle. It gets pretty shady. I'd say this is definitely one of the most debated topics.
Let's take a minute and let's do a story. One of our first unicorn experiences that we actually had.
And not a good one? Is this not going to be a happy ending?
No.
This story almost kept us from being together to do a podcast. I'll put it that way. So push forward, young lady.
Yep. So we met this unicorn and I hit it off with her. And since we were not looking for unicorns, I liked her so much that I felt I trusted her that I was like, maybe let's consider this because everyone likes unicorns. Why don't we try this?
I'm going to jump in before you get too far. This originally started as she propositioned you to play with us.
Yes.
And then as it developed, it you were cut out of the picture, which you were still like, okay, she's not bi. I'm not sure why she presented herself like that originally.
Yeah. So what ended up, I'm going to try to make this story as short as possible, but she kept trying to catch you alone away from me to the point where a lot of our friends were saying that you were doing stuff at these parties or these events behind my back, because like I would watch you go around the house, go to the bathroom, and she would go around the house and follow you. We were told that you were having an affair with her, that you guys were meeting up and going to dinner and going to the movies.
Which this was supposedly her telling other people that she and I were seeing each other, to the fact that she would say, Lee and I had a date the other night, and you'd say, that's funny, I'm 99% sure he's in El Paso, Texas, 12 hours from here.
Yeah.
So, but again, there was also kind of a discommunication between us at the time that made you question things.
And she also was telling people that she wanted to have your children.
I was just wanting her to swallow my babies. I wasn't wanting her to actually have one.
Yeah, so that was an issue and just a lot of stuff. But then again, we heard that she did this to another couple. So I guess the final straw of a lot more drama was when she apparently was telling people she was going to out us because we were cutting ties with her. So we immediately started going back of what have we shared with her? What do we know? Like panic mode.
We got to looking at any DMs, which again, we were just messaging through Facebook Messenger. And I'm like, okay, she has a picture of my ass. Big deal.
Yeah.
I figure everybody out there's seen my ass already. So it's not like it's a private knowledge.
Yeah. So I guess the question for me is, like I said, another couple couples had gone through this with her. So at what point do we allow unicorns like her to continue in the lifestyle when if a male did this, he would be iced out quicker than he could even say he wanted to have someone's baby? I mean, am I wrong? Like,
no, you're spot on. That wouldn't be accepted from the flip side of a single male. So as you mentioned, why do people tolerate this actions from single ladies? And I'm just going to say unicorn hunters. A lot of people come into the lifestyle with the hopes of getting a woman for a threesome to basically satisfy both partners. So there's a lot that's to be said with that.
So is this good or bad that we have unicorn hunters coming in?
The good is it's nice that people are being sexually open and looking at alternative things to satisfy their marriages and have the communication, if they have the communication to back it. The bad is a lot of what you see online. People are popping up, brand new, no other introductions. Me and my wife are looking for a hot unicorn to fuck. In that situation, you're basically reducing them down to a piece of meat. Again, you're treating a human being like they are there for your enjoyment, and that's all they're there for.
No, that's true. I understand that. And also, it cuts out the wives that play separate. If you're in the lifestyle, you know, you could be looking for those, but the stigma of just, oh, I got to have this unicorn it's unrealistic. There's so many other options out there. So in your new dynamic, what do you find? Is it easy for you to look for unicorns, or is it easy for you to go with the wives?
That's a tricky question. Honestly, I would say that the easiest dynamic for me is a unicorn. She doesn't have anybody on her side that she has to ask questions to or get permission. Now, in this scenario, the only person she really has to get permission from is you. She has to come correct to you. And I would say the ones that I've played with have shown you a tremendous amount of respect and you feel comfortable with. That's why we are allowed to go into a sexual situation.
Which I bet a lot of the people you play with quite a bit.
Definitely do. Well, I'm not going to play with anybody that you don't approve or get your eyes on. I know some people, they're fine with that. That's not the way we will ever be. I don't ever see us, you not having a say-so, not while we're married. The unicorn we met the other night that you've given me approval on, did you feel you vetted her good enough in that short period of time?
But I talked to her multiple times, and the questions I did ask, I feel like I got the idea that she understood what's going on and what's happening, and she wasn't questioning our marriage. I don't know, like, I'm a pretty good read on people, and sometimes you'll get these unicorns, they really want to know, like that bad one that we had. She really wanted to know the details of if you and I fight, if we have any differences, you know, and so there was no red flags.
On the wives, there's a little bit of a dynamic there because, you know, they may have total autonomy to play with whoever they want. But again, they still have to talk to you. I would like to get the approval of the husband. I can't say that I would play with one that was like, I can do whatever I want. I would still want the interaction of the husband there just out of a sign of respect.
No, that's understandable. Yeah. I think that you still want to make sure that the husbands know what's going on and they're okay with it.
To me, respect and follow-up's a big deal. I even messaged the husband after I played on my date the other night. I was like, hey, thank you again for allowing me time with her.
Yeah.
And because I want to maintain their friendship as well. They were friends before this. I hope nothing ever changes that we're not friends. But again, as I mentioned, the hardest dynamic is still the 2x2, which you brought up the fact we were propositioned by some people at the bar the other night, and we talked about that today, and you're like, but I was a little bit drunk. I didn't really dawn on me. So then there's that whole backwards song and dance we have to play to go back to that phase and work back through it where we end up in bed.
Well, and we had a couple also that the husband was like, are you guys really interested? And we were like, yeah, we've already gone on a date with you. We've already gone to dinner with you. Like, yes.
We didn't have any miscommunications or anything. We had a nice dinner date, and they were in the process of a move, and things never came back together. And you said, yeah, we'd like to do something with you. And he's like, y'all really would? It's like, yeah, we went out to dinner with you. You weren't just a rando.
Yeah, I guess the assumption's sometimes harder when you are trying to do the four-way connection.
Again, everybody needs to be fairly undrunk, fairly coherent.
Oh, no, I own it.
Yeah, was your fault.
I mean, I was literally like, no, we just need to go home. And you were like, but, and I was like, no, we need to go home.
But from my aspect, sometimes if the couple's deal isn't happening, the solo playing female is an easy option for me. That sounds arrogant, but no, really, as far as the dynamics, that's an easy one to nail down. If there's an attraction, we don't need any big song and dance. It's just like, hey, we're ready to do this. I can set up a play date and not have to have the stars align or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, it's like, okay, so let's say last night as an example. I know that I wasn't in the right mindset to play.
Drunk?
Yes. But let's say if one of the wives or the unicorn wanted to play with you and you're like, hey, could I go play? Knowing that I was okay, safe, and, you know, I probably would have been like, yeah, go ahead. And it wouldn't have been that big of a deal because you're not upset because I can't play. And so then I've killed the play mode.
Even a little more story on this, the unicorn that I was talking with, she had a couple that she was making out with. I believe it was a friend, and she was then making out with a friend's husband. But my deal was like, hey, if we're going to do this, you're going to be interested enough that we're going to have a conversation after this. If she had been a crazy unicorn, she could have pushed it harder that she was causing drama between me and the other couple. I'm just like, hey, I'm not going to play this game. She brought up the fact when I was leaving. She's like, oh, you're going to leave me? I'm like, yeah, but we got numbers. If we're serious about this, let's stay in contact. Here it is this morning. We were messaging back and forth. A lot of that depends on the quality of character of the unicorn in question and what your morals are.
I think the unicorns that are seasoned, I guess is what I'm going to say, mature in the lifestyle, we really need to almost cater to them a little bit more. I think really show them that they are respected. I don't care. I'm going to say it.
Own your words.
Yep.
Well, kind of tying into the wives and the unicorn hunters, let me ask you this question. How many wives do you think are actually playing the bi-curious or bisexual role based on the fact that their husband wants it or it's expected in the lifestyle? We've kicked this one around for a number of years.
I believe the ones that are new to the lifestyle, they do it a lot. I think the number is very high because they feel like that's what's expected of them. It's expected to make out with another female, to be bi, and at a certain point, they've got to stand up and be like, if I'm not into it, I'm not into it. And they need to know it's okay not to do something they don't want to do.
Well, how many times have we been trying to do the couple by couple jam, and when we really start drilling down, the girl was all bi-curious, bisexual, bi-furious, whatever, and you'd say, well, you can go down on me, but I'm not going to go down on you. And the woman on the other side was like, oh, I'll just make out with you. I'm not going to go down on you. It's like, okay, we've got two supposedly non-bi-curious women here, or two bi-curious women. So, but you just see where that's going. Once you really start saying, this is my boundaries, they have the same one. So really, nobody's really that bi.
No, and that's what I feel like sometimes you just get into the habit of where, oh, no, this is what is expected. And it's not, it shouldn't be expected. You should be able to say no, or I don't want to do that.
Well, here's something interesting that, based on some situations you ran into, Do you feel that unicorns are treated different than wives in the lifestyle? Again, all these women have pussy. Do you think that a unicorn is treated different than a married woman?
Have you listened to this podcast? I've been literally saying it this whole time. Yes.
Well, elaborate then. Help me here.
They're let in for cheaper price places. They get stuff paid for them. They
okay, let's take all the commercialized stuff. There's just a bunch of women standing in a room. You're married. She's not. Are you going to be treated different by men?
Just by looking at me? No. I feel like a unicorn can bounce around and talk to different couples and make out with different couples and do different things a lot easier than a wife can, because they automatically are like, oh, where's your husband? Oh, you're over there making out with someone. Where's your husband? Where the unicorn can bounce and they don't think anything about it.
Do you think they're treated as an easier target?
Like people going after them?
Yeah, we may see things different here now. Yeah, exactly what I mean. Well, I'm just going to jump in. This goes back to my situation that it's easier for me to make a connection and play with a unicorn than it is a wife. Because if I'm talking to you and you're married to Joe, from my standpoint, I have to win you and Joe both over. When it comes to unicorn, it's me and her. Hey, is there an attraction? Yeah, let's go do this. Deal's closed.
I don't know. I mean,
have you ever thought about it that way? You could be 10 times more attractive than a unicorn, but I feel like a unicorn still has a one up on you because they don't have to come talk to me. And I'm not just talking about me being an asshole. I'm just talking about the fact that you're in a spouse situation.
But on the flip side, the unicorn should come talk to me. You're saying that they don't have to talk to anyone or be accountable, but yet they need to come and acknowledge the wife.
But not everybody plays that way.
No.
I'm just saying where that's not a rule or a requirement is to speak to both halves of the couple. We need to wind this down. So let me run one more by you. We have seen this in real world. Let me see what your thoughts are. Do wives that end up divorced act differently when they become unicorns? Because we know plenty that, we know plenty of people that divorce and stay in the lifestyle. It's not that uncommon. So when a woman splits up, does she become different as a unicorn?
I've really thought about this question. And I have to say, I think that wives that are now divorced and they're technically, if you go by that term, are unicorns at this point, I do think they are different than, because they're more mature. They're, I'm going to say, more calm and relaxed.
You keep bringing up calm and relaxed. Is that an important sales pitch for you?
Yes. I like chill. I like to go with the flow. And if something happens, not like, we got to go. Let's go now. That's not me. I'm not DTF.
Well, I can think of some unicorns that you shot me down on just because they were high strung. I think the one at New Orleans she was a baddie. But you from across the pool were literally shaking your head no to me just because she was, again, what I don't like. She was loud, boisterous. Look at me. And you're shaking your head.
Yeah.
And I knew better that it wasn't going to be a fit for me. But you were already giving me the fuck that's not going to work look.
Yeah. No. I mean, there's just certain vibes that you get.
Playing off your chill part, the thing that I think the females that we know that are now become unicorns is they have a different set of guidelines and standards. They know how they were treated by unicorns in the past that were trying to come into their marriage. And I think they might handle things a little bit more with kitty gloves, a little bit different than before. They come a little bit more correct. They cover their bases. And we'll typically talk to both sides of the couple before proceeding with anything.
Yeah, I mean, let's just look at the two unicorn situations that we've been in. One of them was in the lifestyle strictly as a unicorn. Now, to come to find out, she was married and all this mess, but they weren't in it as a couple. And so the way she was and treated us was a lot different than the way KB was. KB was a lot more respectful because she's been in the lifestyle as a couple. So she knew, how to treat me and you and our relationship respectfully. So I feel like when unicorns are respectful of everyone, it changes how I feel about them. I'm just going to say that.
Okay. So I think we beat this topic into the ground. Anything you can think of we want to close on or any other ideas we want to add to this?
I guess in a nutshell, let's go back to our original question. Do you think unicorns belong in the lifestyle?
And I'm going to own my original answer. Yes, but in limited quantities.
And I think they belong in the lifestyle also. But I think that they definitely need to be educated to be.
I think you're getting off track because, I mean, how are you going to educate these people? How are you going to do requirements?
Well, it's just like you do with single males. People throw stuff out there all the time with single males, how we need to tell them how to act.
There needs to be a test for single
act.
Males. Yeah. This shit's never going to fly, though.
No, but I mean, you need to have them be respectful. Just single Like, unicorns need to be respectful. That's what it boils down to.
I think you're asking for too much. You can't make somebody make their bed.
Just because you are now unicorn hunting does not mean you have to be...
I'm being pursued by the unicorns. I'm not getting labeled as a unicorn hunter. How's that for arrogance? So anyway, how are we finishing this off?
We better wrap it up before I become a unicorn.
All right then, Miss Unicorn Thing, take us out of here.
All right, everyone. Tell us your thoughts on unicorns and let's go flamingle.
So if you'd like to join us and find out what events we're at, you can reach us through our social medias, which include Twitter or the X.
Nope. Too much titties and ass on that one.
Well, what about Instagram?
Not enough titties and ass.
Well, how about Facebook?
All right, I guess that is more of our speed.
Last and not least, what about OnlyFans?
Yes, you probably have one. No, we don't have one. I'm just kidding.
Yet.
Yeah, you're probably going to get one.
God damn, I don't know where to go.
Are the gnomes going to take me out?
We're not cosplaying today, ma'am, so just keep it in check. Focus the task on hand.